the Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Thanks to Kerr's Hire, Cat Attack Podcast, AFLW style. Tom King with you and the great number one, Michaela Bowen. Hello, Bowie.
Hi, Kingy. I would love to do that intro one day.
You can do it anytime you like. You can take over from me. I do not mind. Who's your goal-kicking coach down at the Cats?
Well, the question is, do I have one? Do I need one? Yes. Do I have one? No. Not specifically goal-kicking, but Andrew Bruce is our forward coach. So
good
I'm
fella.
Having some beautiful, beautiful human being. I'm having some in-depth conversations with him at the moment without catastrophizing Kingy because, you know, I'm getting to the right spots, just need to finish off.
You could have had some sort of first quarter on Sunday. I went back. So we were broadcasting GFL footy on CarrickFootball.live, so I had to go back and watch your clash on Sunday night. Then by a quarter and a half in, after I'd seen enough of you missing goals, I had to put the cue in the
switched
rack.
Switched it off. Yeah.
You wrapped that I started on a negative.
Yes, I do, because it can only get better from here. Yeah.
That's the positive, though. You just kept finding that. It was like you brought your own Sharon.
Oh, I think you mentioned that to me the other day, Kingy, and I thought to myself, would you rather have the footy on a string, or would you rather get the footy between the two big posts? Hmm. I don't know what the answer is to that question, but yeah, stoked to get involved a bit more. But like I think as you do, regardless of position, especially as a forward, I just don't feel like it's completed without finishing off those final touches. So that's a work on for this weekend.
Now, Bowie.
Kingy.
Were you worried that this podcast was a jinx? We'd done this podcast and you hadn't won a game, and now you finally won one.
I didn't think about it like that. No, I'm stoked we finally won one. I don't know if I said to you last week that hopefully next time we speak, we will have 4 points in the bank.
You do.
4 points in the bank. And I think we're 11th.
Yes, you jumped.
On the ladder.
Yep, jumped
with
5 spots.
One game. Yep. Which, you know, just shows the nature of the AFLW competition and how big wins are. I think there's only two teams now that haven't got any points on the board, and we're definitely stoked to not be one of them anymore.
You're a third of the way through the season.
It's insane. Yeah. I know. What, we're going into round five against Richmond this weekend, and that literally is, you know, what'd you say, a third of the season just then. So it's quick, and that's why in terms of results and points and every opposition you come up against, it almost feels like there's an added pressure and added everything, really, because everything's just so saturated in terms of results and points and all that. So it's super important.
Take us through playing at Windy Hill. I touched on last week. I've never been there.
Haven't you?
I've driven past it but never been there. Like, it's not what it was back in the 70s and 80s when Essendon's men were still playing there, but a couple of the old grandstands still exist. Has it got that feel of being like a historical venue?
Absolutely. Very historic. Coming from Perth and the Perth Football Club back at Lath Lane Mineral Resources Park, where West Coast home ground is now.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure it's still standing, the Perth Demons Footy Club stand.
Yep.
And it really brought me back to those days of feeling what those change rooms felt like. The access to the locker rooms at Windy Hill for the away chair, I'm sure they're much better for the home team. That's how it often happens. But it was just an absolute maze. It probably took me and a couple of the girls a good 20 minutes to find the entrance in there. But again, it obviously means such an enormous amount to the Essendon Football Club. And with all the grounds, regardless of whether they're the big stadiums or the historic grounds that have so much history behind them, they're always so special to play on. So it was good. It was windy hill this weekend. Yes.
So are the away rooms under one of the old stands, or are they in it? Are they?
They come off one of the roads as you come to enter. So, like, I don't know if that necessarily means it's underneath the stand or not.
Yeah, right.
Like, it should, but
you've just got changed and got ready to play footy.
Yeah, I find I'm just so focused and zoned in on the footy game that I struggle to take things in like that, Kingy, but more on that.
Talk to us about, so do you drive to a Melbourne game yourself?
Yeah. I personally do.
Just by yourself?
Yeah, in the green machine. If I could opt to like drive to the airport myself. I would. I think I've mentioned before how much I just love driving, and I love that outside of footy. But then when it comes to footy, I just find it's a space where I can lock in, and if I needed to, like carpool or something for the sake of getting the other girls along, then I absolutely would do that. But that's why you buy a two cabin, two seated ute, so that it's just me.
Music on
and
Sunday.
My music, yes.
What was your choice?
Drake.
It was just Drake.
It's Drake. It's Travis Scott. I usually try to, if I've got an hour, 20-minute drive, I would first 40, 45 minutes is just easy listening. I try not to overdo it in terms of getting myself too hyped up. That balance is always pretty hard to find and so different for everyone. But, yeah, when it comes to half an hour towards the ground, I reckon within the last 8 minutes of the drive, I would have about four songs that are the same four songs that I'd play.
Yeah. So they just bang, bang, bang at real intensity.
Yeah, which is really interesting because then when we that's just to get to the ground, Kings. That's just me priming myself getting to the crown. Then when I get there, it all starts again because I've still got another 2 hours till the game starts. So that's just hyping me up to get to the game. And then once we get in there, it's usually Georgie Presparkas is on the speaker when we get there. Obviously, it's really hard to manage. I've often wondered how the boys get their headphones out on the oval because we're obviously restricted with phone usage.
Yep.
I'd love to ask. I think Jack Martin is one from our footy club that goes out with his headphones on. I'm not sure if he does it with his Apple Watch or little iPad or something, but it'd be really intrigued to ask about that.
Yeah, having electronic devices for both men and women is
restricted.
So talk to us about that.
Yeah.
So you've got to give your phone over to somebody?
Yeah, so every time we walk in, there's big signage everywhere that we obviously get briefed on as players prior to game day. Is it like, and I think there's been some things in media at some point when players get caught out or it always turns into a very big deal. But when you walk in there within the first, two steps you take into the change rooms, there's a little box there. It looks like a briefcase that's locked up and, picked away from the darkest of depths of, there's all your numbers on it. And so before that closes, before every player walks in, every single phone has to be there in numerical order.
Little bag.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's all locked up away until post-game and then you can access it.
I didn't play a lot of footy, but what I do remember of playing a footy is that you had somebody who was like a property steward who had the valuables bag.
Yes.
So your watch, your wallet.
I had that in my younger year in states and stuff,
I wonder if they still do. I don't even know whether they do that in local footy anymore.
They
would think so.
Yeah, I think obviously it doesn't happen as much from an AFLW perspective because of the amount of security that's around the change rooms and whatnot. But I can absolutely imagine from a local perspective when it's, you've got your valuables sitting in your footy bag. And sometimes, as we all know, Kingy, footy crowds can get pretty intense. So you want to keep your belongings away.
So parking and all that sort of stuff, obviously there's car park for players and stuff like that.
Yeah, we get a car park pass every weekend. So same for GMHBA here. When it's our home game and we're playing, we get like a access pass to A3, which we always laugh about as players. I don't even know what you'd call them. The people that patrol the roads do such a good job. Traffic management, thanks, King. They do not muck around at all. Like, if you don't have that pass, it doesn't matter if you've got your AFL accreditation, you look exactly like your wiki page, you look exactly like your AFL, whatever it is, they will not let you pass until you have a parking pass. And the same thing at Windy Hill.
Have you ever had to talk yourself into somewhere?
No.
No.
I don't think so. I've been threatened by my friends to be like, don't forget your ID because we wouldn't want to have to look you up or make a fool of you in that sense. No, I haven't, Kingy, personally.
Do you still get ID'd going out? Because,
look at me.
Yeah. Well, you're not tall. And
not tall, and I get told off, and I have...
You look young.
A baby face, yeah.
Yeah.
24 now. I would say I've looked 12 since being 12. And so, I'm interested to see when or when not that is going to change, and maybe one day eventually I'll not need ID, but that's not the case at the moment.
So, most places, especially in Geelong, you've got to put the license into something to...
It's... what's it called?
They used to do the tracking.
I don't go out enough. What do they call it? Where they literally scan it now and it goes through a system rather than just a security guard looking at your ID.
Yeah, right.
I think that's obviously off the back of people trying to get in with fake IDs.
Once upon a time, a birth certificate was enough, and the amount of people rolling
around. No way.
This is going back 30-odd years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
What would you do with a birth certificate? Walk around with it in your pocket?
Yeah.
You're kidding?
Yep.
Wow.
Because people had extracts of birth certificates. So you had your official birth certificate, but you got to get an extract, which was a smaller document.
Yep.
And people would carry around somebody else's. And then you'd have to memorise date of birth, parents, yeah. What's your star sign.
Wow. Would people use that as a fake?
No.
Wow. So it really was like a study before the night of going out.
Yeah, yeah. All right, how do we make this happen? Okay, what's your date of birth?
Yeah.
What are your parents' names? What do they do for jobs? Where were
That's
you born?
Incredible.
What hospital?
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff. Yeah,
yeah, wow. Gone are the days.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I'm happy to say I'm 46. Mm-hmm. I'm the last era that existed at school, high school without the internet and without real serious computers.
Right.
Like, yeah. The internet wasn't on every computer when I finished year 12 at my school.
Would you have had the bricks of laptops that look like that thick?
Didn't even have that.
No. You would have the desktop computers.
Yeah, Apple Macintoshes.
That are enormously thick.
No, the Apple Mac was a box, but it was a smaller rectangular. So yeah. Here's some homework for you.
Sure. I get homework every week.
Apple Macintosh. Go and have a look at what Apple Mac looked like.
Yep.
Back
in what year?
96.
1996.
Yeah. There was a time before 2001,
yes,
Chloe.
Yes, okay.
See, I can't get my head around. You weren't born when mm-hmm. the Sydney Olympics happened.
No. I wasn't. I think that often, and when it goes beyond that 1996, as we just said, I wasn't even thought about.
So this tomorrow is the anniversary of 9/11.
Wow.
24th anniversary.
Wow.
And you're 24.
Mm.
I can't get my head around that people have no real life concepts of it.
Other than what I've heard and read and seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. This is just typical of me to bring up Mum on this podcast, but she mentioned Hi, Mum. She mentioned to me how...
I'll give you a hint. My mother's not listening to this podcast.
What's your mum say?
Sue.
Sue, come on. Lara is waiting for you. You can both speak and debrief the podcast. Lara, my mum, often she has listened to every single podcast we've done, Kingy. And the one thing other than all the trash that we talk that she loves the most is how good our dynamic is. And in such refreshing, interesting way, Kingy, because I think Mum would have no concept or she hasn't met you before. Yep. All she knows of you is what she's heard, what she's seen, I'm sure. But realistically, it's Kingy and Bowie in a room that can just manage to talk about anything. And she absolutely loves our dynamic. So talk about feedback.
I want feedback from your mum on something.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the little video doing the rounds of how the K-Rock box erupted after Oisin Mullen's goal?
No, I haven't.
Oh, I want feedback from you, Mum.
Well, I'll give you feedback myself too because I'll need to go back and watch that. But yes, I'm sure Mum will.
It's on Instagram. It's on Facebook.
What a moment, Kingy.
I might have gone from broadcaster to fan in that moment.
Yeah.
Because the bloke in the second row is a fan, obviously being... Reg Tui,
yep.
And being Irish and, you know, following, you know, I think he has dinner quite a bit with Osh and stuff like that.
So. I've got an image in my head as to what that video would look like, but I'm going to need to watch it back.
When we've finished recording, I will show you.
Great, and that's Mum's homework.
What did you make of what went on in the F1 on the weekend? Can you give us Bowie's take on...
The McLaren drama?
Yeah.
Well... Bowie's take on the F1 in terms of, for those that didn't watch, we speak about McLaren once a week at this stage, Kingy, and more often than not, we're speaking about Oscar Piastri, who's leading the world championship at the moment, is more so dominating his counterpart, Lando Norris.
Mm-hmm.
This weekend, we had some pit drama. So, a bit of deja vu, I think, for me watching it, because I seem to remember a similar situation where, what would it have been? It would have been the other way around, potentially, that because in this certain scenario this weekend, we had Lando Norris leading.
Yep.
He goes into the pits. The pit crew stuff him by 4 seconds on top of Oscar Piastri's pit. Oscar comes out. So on track position, you've got Oscar leading Lando Norris.
Yep.
Papaya rules, team orders, is that Oscar is to give the position back to Lando Norris. And so there is always going to be a controversy of opinions as to what is right and what is wrong. Oscar said what he needed to say and off the back of that had to give back track position to Lando Norris. So my take on it, Kingy, is only because I can seem to remember this exact situation happening and whether or not Lando Norris didn't give the position back or he absolutely spat the dummy about the fact that he shouldn't have to give it back. You know, he's only going to do it because at the last second, I think he drove like till the last two laps of the race to give it back, to make a bit of a protest, a bit of a point. And to listen to Lando's post-race interview around the fact that it's just racing, this is what happens. If I was in his situation, I would have done the exact same thing, he says. I don't believe that for a second.
I call bullshit.
I don't believe that for a second, Kingy, at all. So yeah. I have the utmost respect for Oscar, and I know, you know, he's clearly trying to do the right thing by the team. I listened to an older clip of Lewis Hamilton speaking when he was having similar issues with his, not issues, but... similar conflicts with his teammate at Mercedes. And Lewis said at the end of the day, like, I understand there's a team in this, but realistically, when it comes to the World Championship,
it's still an individual sport.
It's an individual sport, and I am not going to just let him win that because they are so close. I wouldn't even know what the point difference now is between the two.
Right now I came pre-prepared.
As always.
Piastri on 324.
Yeah.
Lando on 293.
Yeah.
Verstappen on 230.
Yeah. And that's part of the thing as well, Kingy, is that there's a lot of commentary around the fact that they are so caught up in their own McLaren drama that Max is now closer than he would have been. If you were to have, you know, Oscar to take P2, that then pushes Oscar way ahead of Max, whereas Max is absolutely not out of contention, which I think a lot of people thought he would be with the state of his Red Bull and the state of that constructor at the moment.
Eight Grand Prix left. Mm-hmm. Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Sorry. Grand Prix. No, it's Grand Prix. Azerbaijan next.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a week off.
Yeah.
Then a week off into Singapore. Then a week off into United States.
Yeah.
Which is, where's the US Grand Prix? Obviously, there's one in Vegas. Where do they go for that one? Here we go. Let me just click.
Why am I thinking Texas?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, I always remember seeing Daniel Ricciardo dressed up in, like, real outback Texas gear.
Yeah, Circuit of the Americas.
Yeah, and it looks like an upside-down pig.
The track. I'm looking at it now.
Mm. And it looks like an upside-down pig. Or am I thinking of the wrong one?
No, I'm not saying that, but I've got all the tracks in front of me.
Yeah.
There's some weird shape. Yeah, I can see where...
Maybe
Miami? Vegas is the upside down pig.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking of. I must have thought of a very warped pig if I was thinking of Texas.
Vegas is the upside down pig.
Yeah. I am that obsessed with the F1 Kingy. You know Kate Darby. A lot of listeners will probably know Kate Darby, one of my best mates from the Geelong Footy Club. Her husband, Daniel, has a 3D printer. And so I have like a Lewis Hamilton shrine in my house. I've got one of his Mercedes Lego sets, his new Ferrari Lego sets. I buy all his little helmets and try and get them signed. And,
really?
Daniel 3D printed me a real life, like, not real, what am I saying?
3D.
A 3D printed, like, you think of a little Lewis Hamilton Lego figure.
Yep.
But like times 20, so it's about this big. I should explain that a bit more for the listeners. But he 3D printed me that for my birthday. And he also 3D printed me a 2025 F1 calendar, which is like this little square with... Yep. And this is why I'm like, I've got all the visuals of all the races, because it sits up underneath my Lewis Hamilton shrine. And it's got in every order the dates and the track layouts of everything, which is... Yeah, I love it. And I'm going to have to get him to make me one for 2026 too.
I'm going to never unsee that upside down pig in
Vegas. No, you won't.
Are you the only person who's ever referred to it as that?
No, that's what I mean. I'm not going to claim that, King. Yeah. Someone said that to me, and so now saying that to you.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so like now it. You can see it, right?
Do you want to go to Vegas for the Vegas Grand Prix?
I'll meet you there. Great. How many weeks do we have?
Nah, the problem is you'll be playing it hopefully in a preliminary final that weekend.
Do you know, I've thought, Kingy, around, I'm lucky enough to not have missed a game yet.
Yep.
Is there something that I would
miss a game for?
Miss a game for? No. No, I don't think so. Would if Kingy came to me and said, Bowie, I've got two tickets for you and I to go to Vegas to watch the F1.
Oh, dangerous.
And you'll meet Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, you're going. You're going.
Maybe.
No, you're picking. What you're actually doing is you're getting to the gate at Tullamarine.
Mm-hmm.
You're ringing Dan Lowther and going, Dan, sorry, I'm just about to jump on a plane and I'm turning my phone off.
Completely.
It's been a pleasure. Trade me wherever you need to.
I was going
to
say, would I be forgiven?
No.
I don't know. I don't know that I would, and I don't know that I'd really miss it. But
no, traded.
Lewis Hamilton means a lot to me. So.
Pick your next club, Bowie.
Yeah.
Pick your next club. What we were going to discuss last week, we didn't get to, is what are you watching?
Yes, we absolutely were. I have it.
What have you got? What are you watching?
What am I watching, and what have I watched, should I say, because I'm currently waiting for the next season.
Of?
Shrinking. It's called Shrinking. It's on...
I'm not aware of it.
Jason Segel. How I Met Your Mother.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure he was a co-director, co-producer in the series. It, as you would know, King, and I'm sure the listeners do by this point, in terms of mental health. Like, I love it. I find myself so passionate about it. And Shrinking is a series about Jason Segel, who is he's a therapist, but he's lost his wife.
Head shrinking, as in shrink. Is that, like, that's... So shrink being a term for a psychologist.
Potentially.
Yeah.
That makes more sense, yep. Because I actually haven't understood why it was called that.
Yep, that would be why.
Do you know I actually learn a lot in these every week? I really do. I really do. But shrinking.
Go on.
Yes, obviously, well, now that I know the term shrinking.
Who's it on? Oh, sorry, what's it? Well, Netflix,
Dan? I think it's on Prime.
Okay, I've got that.
Yeah, I think it's on Prime. It's a great watch. I struggle to watch a lot of what is on Netflix and not specifically Netflix, but just real surface level kind of, lightly crafted TV series and light watches that are coming out at the moment. I'm personally a lot more into in-depth, in terms of more cinema type stuff or the way it's produced, all that kind of stuff. And I find Shrinking has a really awesome balance of the depth, but the humor. Jason Segel is just hilarious. I think the acting by all the characters is awesome. In terms of a summary of it, he's lost his wife in a car accident. So he is going out of his way to try and support people, to give certain people therapy in terms of all the everyday life and longer term issues that these people are going through. But it's really interesting to recognize that, obviously, when it comes to therapy, like, the therapists are still people too. And so it's like he's trying to solve his own internal issues by helping other people. And at times that often bites him in the bum a bit. But great series. Loved it. I'm currently waiting for the second season.
Right.
I think, I'm waiting for the third season. There's two seasons out already.
Apple TV.
Apple TV. There it is. Not Prime.
Have you got
Apologies.
Apple TV?
I do.
I don't have Apple TV.
Oh,
right. So
shame.
I need to get
you
Apple
can have
TV.
My account.
Let's go with that. Right. Oh, right.
Great series.
I've got Harrison Ford in it.
Mm. Do you, yes, yes. I thought the casting was incredible too. I don't know who, is her name Robin from How I Met Your Mother?
Kobe Smulders.
Yeah, she must be the actor. She ends up coming into the series and it's so cool to see those two act together again. It's very cool.
A woman who Jimmy and Derek look to purchase a car from?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, his daughter's first car they look to purchase. Not that I'm giving any spoilers because you'll watch
Among the guests, Candace Bergen, who was Murphy Brown.
Yep.
Michael J. Fox.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know who?
No.
Bowie.
Who? Give me the movie. Where
Back to the Future.
When did that come out, Kingy?
You haven't seen the Back to the Futures.
When did that come out?
Oh, no, Bowie. No. Even my kids, my daughter, my 14-year-old daughter has seen the Back
I'm
to the Futures.
I'm sorry. No.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
I've seen snippets.
No. Go home.
I struggle.
Go home.
Now.
Leave this studio.
Yeah, now.
1985, Back to the Future came out.
I think that's a really high expectation that I would have watched that.
Yeah.
No.
I thought it was one of those ones that kids just watched.
Okay.
Growing up.
I'm sorry to disappoint
you.
No.
The fact you didn't know who... I thought you would know who Michael J. Fox was.
Is that going to be another piece of homework to watch Back to the Future by next week?
Well, you don't have to watch it by next week, but just... When you get a chance.
Become more educated.
Because, it's a trilogy.
Okay. So there's three.
Yeah, they made three.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the Future.
One.
Surprisingly, Back to the Future 2.
Yeah.
And Back to the Future 3.
Yeah.
Right. Jeff Daniels is in it. So Jeff Daniels was in Dumb and Dumber.
Yes, I've seen that.
So, okay.
I've seen
that. Well, that was mid-90s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm clearly just...
My favourite scene from that. When they say they're from Austria, and he goes, "G'day, mate."
I haven't watched it in a while, I must admit.
Who else is there? There's a few good. There's a few guests. Good guests.
Who
stars.
Is
Damon Wayans Jr.?
Who is the older therapist?
Wendy Malick's in it. Wendy Malick was in Just Shoot Me, which is one of the funniest TV shows
you
ever
should,
met.
I wish people that were listening could see your face right now. Oh. You are beaming.
Yeah.
Absolutely beaming.
Ted McGinley was in the Revenge of the Nerds films, which mm-hmm. I'd probably recommend you don't watch.
Okay.
But he was also in Married with Children.
No.
Oh, wow. You are so young.
mm-hmm.
It's, I love the... like. There's a level of innocence here.
Yes. Well, I feel like I'm, I feel like I want to spit out some things to you that I would know that you have not seen.
Go
right
on.
Now. Well, I don't think I can. I would right. need to give it some thought.
Right, okay.
What's come out recently?
So,
I can't stand this show. Mm-hmm. Sorry for anyone listening that can. The Summer I Turned Pretty. Have you seen that?
No.
Yeah. That is just viral at the moment. Trash TV.
I think my eldest is watching it.
Yeah. Team Conrad, Team Jeremiah. Have you heard about that?
No.
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 Yeah. See?
Right. No, I haven't watched that. I am watching things that are up to date. Well,
I was going to ask what you're watching. Yes.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. I've just started watching Poker Face.
I've heard about that. The girls were talking about that at Footy Club.
Yep.
Yep. Netflix?
Stan.
Mm-hmm.
I've just started watching that. I've watched two episodes. Nothing against the show. It's very good. And I'm a Natasha Lyon, who is the main protagonist in mm-hmm. the film, mm-hmm. who I've always liked because she was in the original American Pie. Please tell me you've seen American Pie.
I wouldn't say I'm a massive, like... movie head yeah. in terms of like all these, you know, what's that movie, the one that's like Molly, Austin Powers. I haven't yeah. seen that.
Haven't you?
No, that's Kate Darby and Melissa Bragg, my two teammates, have yeah. given me flack about that my whole career.
Really?
Yeah, I just am not really, no. Sorry, Kiki.
I'm talking to Darbs. You need
yes,
a little
do.
You need a little Austin Powers, because there's three or four Austin Powers.
Yes.
The first one is okay.
They get better.
The second one was outstanding.
Wow.
Most people will probably tell you they saw number two before they saw number one.
Okay.
And they go back to one and go, okay.
Underwhelmed.
Yeah, we can see why one wasn't as successful, but can get that it's still funny.
Mm.
And then I think there was three and four. And the jokes had become a bit...
Yeah.
Ho-hum. But two was brilliant.
I don't know, because that's interesting, because usually they, usually, but oftentimes they get progressively worse.
Worse, yeah.
Sometimes it's like, I don't know why you made another movie. Like Happy Gilmore 2, have you seen that?
No, I've
only seen some poor reviews on that.
No, Happy Gilmore 1 came out when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
I'm happy to leave that
yes.
as a teenage
yes,
memory.
Yes, you don't want to consume anymore. No. Yeah.
And I've just, I have been watching, and there'll be... people listening to this going, oh, you big softy. I was going to say Connor Sullivan's Crossing.
Oh,
it's called Sullivan's Crossing.
Yes.
Not Connor Sullivan.
Yes, I think, shout out to Sully. Yeah. You've been thinking about him too much.
After the way he played last week.
How
yes.
can you not? I know.
Sullivan's Crossing.
Yes.
I have thoroughly enjoyed.
Yeah, wow.
Although series three, the acting became a little bit home and away like.
Okay. What's yeah. the, what kind of genre are we speaking of?
What's it? Drama.
And serious, like a bit more serious?
Yeah. It's serious element. It's folksy. It's feel good.
Yeah, okay.
There's a bit of drama about it.
Recommended watch?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. First two series.
We're
really good. My wife, who's not very critical about much at all in life, walked away from series three and said, yeah, that wasn't great.
Right.
We are waiting for series four. £10 Poms was brilliant.
Mm-hmm. I haven't even heard about that one.
Okay, so £10 Poms, made in Australia, obviously about British immigrants that came over for £10 back in the 50s and 60s and their struggles, but some really good social commentary,
mm-hmm.
Especially treatment of First Nations people.
Yeah, wow.
Came up in it, women's rights, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Is it fictional?
Or
is it based off?
Based on...
Yep, yep.
Accounts of
for sure.
that time, but yeah,
yeah.
fictionalised version of mm-hmm. of events. It was pretty. It's good. I'm waiting
I love
for the next series.
Things that feel moving. I think as well. Like I love a laugh. I love a laugh, but I struggle with things that I'm like, why am I watching this? I don't find it entertaining.
Sometimes you need an easy watch, a half 100%, an hour,
100%. Yeah.
Just
have you seen Clarkson's Farm?
No, but that was being talked about.
Hilarious.
At dinner on Monday night.
Hilarious. I think you would love it.
My sister-in-law said she'd love her kids to watch it, but she said the swearing's a lot.
Yes. He in himself, like I watched him on Top Gear back in the day.
As in Jeremy Clarkson.
Jeremy Clarkson, yes. And I just think it was actually Mum and my brother Jackson who put me onto it. And I just think it's so, like to me, that's like a light watch that I can sit down, have lunch, and just watch a quick episode before heading out.
Yep.
But like I still find it very much quality. Like I find it very funny. I find it just so interesting to see Jeremy Clarkson have no background in farming and him just try. It's actually somewhat motivating to just give things a good crack and see how you go, to be honest.
Great
watch. Okay. I don't know what that one's on though. I might have to Clarkson's Farm.
I'll have a look for that one.
Great watch.
I can't believe I'm still getting my head around the Back to the Future thing.
Yeah.
So that means you would have seen none of the Kevin Smith films, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, Clarks, all that sort of stuff.
I wish everyone listening could see my face and could see yours.
Keep
rattling them off, but I will probably most likely be saying no to a lot of them.
And then you get to the really good late night. Surely you've seen 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
Bang.
Ledger. Heath Ledger. Yes.
Who's WA royalty.
Yes.
Late great. Mm-hmm. Before he became the Joker.
Yes.
In The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Which was unbelievable.
I don't know how long we're going to keep talking about this, but I love it. I've heard so much about the depths that Heath Ledger went into to embody the role of the Joker in the lead up to, in terms of what his life looked like. Mm. You can only imagine how that would impact someone's well-being, mental health. Speaking around certain roles, I actually really got into Game of Thrones. And so I watch. Have you seen Game of Thrones before?
I haven't seen it.
There is a character called Joffrey, who is the king and queen's like son, but they're actually brother and sister. It's really weird.
There's a lot of intense. There's a bit to deal with, isn't there?
There is a bit to deal with, yes. Yeah, and you have to sit with it.
A few of the K-Rock boys that used to work with us would come in and give their weekly sort of critique.
Oh, dissection on it. I would have loved to have been around for that.
And we're like, there's a lot. Yeah. There's a bit to unpack my wife and I watch a lot together.
Yeah.
It's very rare that we'll watch something separately.
Yeah, okay.
The only thing I've really watched separately is a series called Rake over the years, which is an Australian drama. And my wife goes, no, the humour and the...
Doesn't hit with her.
No.
Yeah.
The content. Where she's into... what was it called? Killing Eve. Was it called that? Something like that. Which wasn't my thing. So, but it's very rare that we're not home together to
separately watch. Yep.
Anyway, yep. Sorry, back to what you were saying.
No, I was just saying around that the king, he ends up being the king, Joffrey, the actor in himself, he was a character and a role that is probably some of the most like disturbing in terms of viewing it, let alone living to, changing your life to a perspective of, embodying this character for so long to the point where he could no longer act anymore. I think that was from a sense of how impactful his character was visually to the audience, that it would be really hard for anyone to watch him ever again.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, I think I don't know what age he would have been when he was doing that role specifically, but, that's it. He's gone, and now he's known for Joffrey. I can't look at him as anything else because of how impactful the acting was.
Well, it's probably the character would be really hard to watch Jason Segel.
Yeah,
because you're so used to him being Marshall.
Yeah, his character. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
like he's so jovial and that is Marshall.
He has elements of. I don't know if potentially it's because he intertwined parts of his personality with Marshall, with that character. So it's like there's elements of him that come out. In Shrinking as well, that's like it just feels quite natural and doesn't feel like he's embodying someone who he's not. But yeah, he plays it really well. Do you, Kingy, have rules around watching with your wife? Are you allowed to watch without and catch up together, or you always have to watch the same episode together?
Always watch together.
Yeah, good.
Yeah,
I was going to say.
But we usually shake hands. It's on that. Usually that's our end of our day.
Yeah, okay. Wind down.
In bed.
Yeah.
Watch.
Yeah.
Because if I fall asleep. Like I did last night in Poker Face.
Yeah.
So occasionally I go back and try and fill the dots of
what's happened.
What I've missed.
Yeah.
Because that can happen sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah, I find myself.
He's gone.
And then, and then the next thing, the wife turns the volume up on the TV.
Yeah.
And I'm awake again.
Yeah.
Because for her to hear what's going on over my snoring. I'm going to have to watch this Shrink.
Let me know. Well, it's Apple TV, so see how you go with...
The fact it's got Harrison Ford in it.
Is Harrison Ford the older guy?
Yeah, Indiana Jones.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I wouldn't have known that. But everyone that I've heard that have... I'm going to feel it sounds so inexperienced to everyone listening. I apologise. I had heard whenever someone had brought up to watch Shrinking, or when they did watch it, they would mention Harrison Ford and how enormous it is that he's in there.
Yeah.
He plays such an awesome character.
Yeah. But the other one, sorry.
That's okay.
For me, he's Indiana Jones because I've never seen any of the Star Wars films.
Oh, that's where I recognise him from.
Yeah, but
Star Wars.
He's Han Solo.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't fully into Star Wars either.
No, I've never seen one.
Harry Potter?
Never seen one.
Neither.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings.
I did a bit of Lord of the Rings.
No.
Yeah.
My daughters love Harry. Well, Harry Potter. They read the books. We made. See, if you want to watch a movie, you got to read the books.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you've got to. Yeah. Because that's where the books tell the proper story.
I've heard that.
The movies are.
Yeah.
Adaptations.
I struggle, Kingy, to read fiction. I wish I could read fiction
really?
Better. Yeah. I'm so non-fiction. I just, whether that's, you know, whatever concept it is, I would much rather read about something that I feel like I'm learning. Whereas I find it so interesting to listen to. I've got a lot of friends that love, you know, using reading as a way to switch off, rewind, like lose yourself in a different world.
Correct.
I just can't help but see words on a page.
But music does that too. Music makes you.
100%. That's what I mean. Everyone's different, and that clearly does it for me.
Are you an air musician?
What does that mean? Like, as in when I'm listening to music?
Like, do you air drum like when you're in the car or something like that? Or do you drum on your...
I was going to say, no air. It's I'm smacking the wheel. Yep. Yeah, for sure. Smacking the wheel. I love screaming the lyrics at times, depending on where I'm at on the road.
Can you sing?
Where I'm heading to? No.
You can't sing?
No.
Right.
I cannot sing, and I will not claim to do that.
Okay.
Bit of rapping here and there.
Yep.
Speaking is speaking.
But can't.
Cannot sing.
Cannot sing?
No.
Can you play an instrument?
Nope.
Really?
No, I cannot play an instrument. Okay. I wish that I could because I feel like music is such an enormous part of my life. I tried the guitar. My brother's amazing at drums.
Is he?
Yeah.
Can he come and give me some lessons? Because
he can come over at any point because I miss him, but yes.
I just want to... I am seriously considering drum lessons over the summer.
Yeah?
Yep.
Wow. What's your thinking? You just love it.
I just love it.
I feel like a lot of music you'd listen to would have some pretty heavy drumming going on there too.
Not being up the front, like I've got no interest in, like I can't sing, but I've got no interest in being. If I could be anything in the world, I'd be a drummer in a big rock band.
Wow, Kingy. That's awesome. Yeah. It's cool to hear you speak like that too.
I would love to be just a drummer in the back row.
Yeah. Just still involved in the vibes of...
Still involved, but not being...
Yeah, front and centre.
Front and centre. No.
Yeah, wow.
No, just getting all the perks of being in a band.
Yeah, without all the...
But not without the spotlight,
mm-hmm.
You know. What's really big bands of the world, you can't name the drummer. You can name the lead singer and the lead guitarist.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have the band without each of them, would you?
Correct. But the drummer, like, just...
Yeah.
Keeps the groove.
What's is it time that's stopping you right now?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just don't have the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got the money. I can do it. Financially, it's fine. Mm-hmm. It's just having the time, Bowie, to do it.
Well, I look forward to when we're speaking and the time comes and it's something you pursue because I think that's really cool.
It could be over summer.
Yeah.
I did look at the guitar one. I've got a guitar at home.
Yeah.
And I did try that one summer and my fingers.
Difficult.
Would, yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Very difficult. Yeah. It looks deceivingly. I don't know. I think I looked at it. We went stayed in Melbourne for a month with West Coast in a COVID hub during 2020. I think it was 2021, maybe.
Yep.
And I took. I think it was my mum's. I think Mike's old guitar. Mum's partner Mike. Her old guitar over with me because I was like, "Stuff. I'm going to be stuck in a room. I'm going to try and learn something." I thought I made some progress, and I've listened back on the videos, and I'm like, I just, yeah. I've got other things to invest my time into. Yep. I would love to be good at it.
I'd love to be able to play the piano too.
Stunning.
Just to be able to go into a room.
Yeah.
Like, have you seen people, like, some airports have a piano.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, somebody's just sitting there.
And just jumps
and
on.
And they just, you know.
Yeah. I have a neighbour, actually, near my house who, it's their son who, be 20-odd, and he sits on the, I was going to say sits on the game, because that's what so many people do nowadays, but he doesn't. He sits on his piano and he just lets himself go. Yeah. And at times I'll be walking my little dog, Bobby, taking her for a little blocky before we go to bed. And he's just, it's such a cool experience to see, you know, and to watch past, walk past, sorry, watching him just throw himself into this piano. Like, and he's just letting the music take him.
And we've got to go to CrossFit too with Rocky.
Oh, we're so absolutely doing
it. So you can put me through something.
For sure. For sure.
Now, we're going to open the lines up for people to ask some questions. Now, we will vet some of the questions. There's some stuff that Bowie won't be able to answer, because that's not the idea of this to be full-on footy talk. And as you can tell, we haven't talked footy since about minute three. But there is a gentleman who listens to this podcast religiously called his handle is Daz Broncos.
Dazza.
Yep. But he's based in Burbank. Do you know where Burbank is?
That is a question I cannot answer.
It's in LA.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So great. He works in the...
Dazza.
He's a very good background person working at big events and stuff like that.
Wow, that's incredible.
So he lives over there.
Yep.
So he is your ultimate Cats fan.
Wow.
And he's a massive Shannon Neal fan.
Love that.
But he's a fan of yours as well. He's just asked, WETF is going on at McLaren.
Oh, good man.
Zach Brown has lost the plot. Yeah. It's an anti-Aussie ploy and Oscar is the victim here. I've been watching F1 since before Nigel Mansell blew his left rear in Adelaide down the back straight in 85 or 86.
Mm-hmm.
Have you gone and watched any of those? No, you haven't. Of course you haven't. I've never seen team orders called over a shitty pit stop. Yeah. Oscar now knows he's fighting the team as well to win the World Drivers' Championship.
Yes. So WTF does, like, I completely agree with you. And when it comes to, I've heard and listened to lots of, whether that's podcasts or certain videos on social media around the bias, whether there's a British bias, there's a pushback on Aussie bias, but it feels that way sometimes in terms of what the media potentially want from a Formula One spectacle. And, like I mentioned before, with Lewis Hamilton mentioning that at times when it came to that in his career, he wasn't just fighting against his teammate, he was fighting against the team and the broader competition in terms of what it felt like they wanted to be the result.
All right. We've gone long. Bowie's best?
Bowie's best. Are we up to there already? Mm. Great. We've been absolutely yapping today. Bowie's best throughout the comp, I have Tyler Hanks.
She's a star.
Melbourne Demons, played with her. She was honestly, here's me giving myself a plug, like I have to, clearly, every podcast.
Inserting yourself
inserting. She was one of the first AFLW athletes to support boxers. She would have been within my first five purchases of my original hoodies, which is really cool. So I'm going back onto Tyler Hanks because I absolutely love her as a person.
My three-quarter zip sort of going.
I'm designing as we speak.
Are you really?
Yep.
Oh, I like this.
So I'm doing what I can, Kingy.
Right.
But Tyler Hanks, what, 32, 33 disposals, I think it was, this weekend?
37-point winner over the Tigers.
Yep.
Let me bring up. So we don't pre-prep this. I have no idea who you're going to say.
Why would we pre-prep? Just roll.
32, 6 marks, 5 tackles, 437 metres gained.
Yeah.
Goal assist from 80% time on ground.
Yep. Just like, I think she's just someone that at times goes under the radar because of how consistent she is. I find often when it comes to elite sport, sometimes the spotlight and the highlight goes to you know, certain performances that are potentially out of the blue or a bit different to how others would usually perform, or some crazy numbers, 7 goals. But I think Tyler Hanks, whether it's, you know, 32 or 30 or 29 disposals, she does it most weeks, if not every week. Just such a consistent performer for the Melbourne Demons. And, yeah, someone I would love to be teammates with, I think. She's a beautiful human being.
I got to interview her earlier in the year at North Shore. Her and Liv Purcell together. Unfortunately, Liv again is sidelined
through
injury.
Yeah.
I messaged her dad, Kane, who I know pretty well.
Yeah.
Four weeks ago.
Yeah.
Just passing on my regards and going, yeah, that's not cool.
Was it another ACL? Was that? Yeah, such a shame. We had another ACL. Sorry to pass on Liv that quickly. We had another ACL, Brooke Walker, against us, which such a shame.
Yes.
She'd already done two, I think it was. And I spoke to the opposition I was playing on at the time, being like, she hasn't done this before, has she? And she was like, yeah, I think this is her third now. Such a shame, and I would not wish that upon anyone.
Cap the court your eye, we'll get to, but you had 24 disposals, 14 handballs.
And 0 goals.
Hey, whoa. Looking at the positive. 9 tackles, but there is something that you led your equal leader on the ground in?
Game time?
Yeah.
Yes, I thought so. I think it's the first game I've had that I've not come off.
Yeah. Well, actually, seven Geelong players actually played more game time than the leading Essendon player.
Oh, wow. Game time. Yeah, we spoke about that at halftime, and that was something that was done, rightly or wrongly, on purpose in terms of potentially wanting to look at shifting on field. So having whether it's Georgie Presbarkas, Nina Morrison, or Amy McDonald at times shift through the forward line and have some of us through the forward line roll through the midfield. You know, I have certain opinions on that, Kingy, because I obviously feel for those who are struggling to get game time as well. And when it comes to my own perspective, I've been in that position of struggling to get on the ground. So I'm never shying away from the fact of how that feels. And if we can, you know, get a balance in that space, it would be that would be my preference. I think it was post-game against Essendon, it was actually brought up that I think every time after every goal, it would like Essendon would shift five players and we'd shift two.
Yeah, right.
So they did have a lot of rotations. I told you I'm tired. I'm probably feeling it a bit from that, but...
9 tackles is a fair effort, although not as good as Georgia Nanscorn's 15.
I know.
She's a gent. I've loved her since she played hockey for Australia. Wow.
Because she came to Swan Districts, and so I met her there, and I know her from WA.
Ah.
Again, speaking of beautiful people, she's just gorgeous, and I think we used to call her Guns because of her biceps. Yeah. Like, she's just this small. And I talk about finding motivation in people, small, like, and just gets it done kind of gal. Again, she's just someone that does it every week and was close to being my player of the round for sure. Cat of the round.
Cat that caught your eye?
Cat that caught my eye. Georgia Presbarkas. Yep. I can't not. What, 32? 33, 2 goals.
7 clearances, 4 marks, 3 tackles, 574 metres gained, which was best on the deck.
Yeah, and I just read that she, I think, is close to leading disposals and is leading clearances across the entire competition at the moment. So what a ripping start from Prez. Yeah. And again, this weekend, I think, you know, even for me watching the impact, like I said to you before, King, in terms of being able to do both, having, you know, footy in hand and converting when we really needed her to. So nothing better than the siren going and Georgie Presbarkas finishing it off for us.
I got a new one for you.
Go, hit me.
And it's anything to do with life.
Okay.
What's the random thing that put a smile on your face in the last week?
Yes. I love this. I haven't had any prep on this at all. Random thing that put a smile on my face.
Can I give you mine?
Maybe this is something I can ask you.
No, but this is about more. Can I give you mine?
Yeah, please.
Out the front of all the houses in my street, which isn't very long.
Yeah.
So you've Greater Geelong have planted on the nature strip a tree.
Yeah.
Right. And I said to my wife, do you know what would be really cool? We know that it was at the start of spring.
Yeah.
We get a photo of our two girls. We get a photo of you and I.
Beautiful.
And we get a photo of the four of us.
Yeah.
And we take 3 photos on September 1 every year in front of that tree.
You're growing with the nature.
To see...
That's beautiful.
To see what the changes are over...
For sure.
Our changes are with that tree as it takes life.
Whose idea was that?
No, mine.
Wow.
Yeah,
I love that from you, Kingy. Yeah. That's awesome.
So that's...
That's very special. I don't think I can even come close to that.
Surely something's put a smile on you.
I was going to say my little sister back home, she is... Talking about Lego again, we've both got these little Build-A-Bear things at the moment that Grace is making a lot more progress on than I am. And I'm just getting little updates from her every now and then in terms of, like, she's old enough now, she's got her phone, so we message every now and then. I'm shocking on my phone, so she knows that and doesn't take it personally. But I'm getting... once every couple of days, little updates. And again, speaking of growth, she's got this little thing that she's just throwing herself into, which is outside of school, outside of the drama she's going through a bit at the moment. Like, it's something that I'm feeling like I'm connecting with her on, which is really cool.
So next week to open the show, it'll be the thing that put a smile on your face.
Love that. Awesome. Right. That sounds great. And next week is something I cannot wait for.
See ya.
See ya, Kingy. The Cat Attack Podcast.
Kerr's Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.